everybody. Good evening, and thank you very much for coming. So, a little bit about the Moon and Flowers before we start. 9 years ago, I decided to visit a friend's garden not far from where I live in Northumberland once a month. This was an intuitive response to the fact that over the course of the preceding few years, I had lost 6 people I love very much. From a place of shock, grief, and lostness, I was drawn to seek refuge in the beauty and safety of the walled garden for a time of reflection and renewal. I suppose I was asking, what is left when you've lost so much? And what comfort might the order and care of a well-tended garden provide? Our word for paradise comes from the old Persian for walled garden or park. And so I wanted to go back to the beginning of things and locate myself within what is timeless. The cycle of the seasons, marked by the phases of the moon with their old pagan associations. Every month during the day of the full moon, I had a conversation with whatever was growing in the garden, the weather and the various creatures, the moon and my own muse, which I'm tempted now, looking back, to think of as love itself. It was our mutual friend Alec Finley who suggested that I should collaborate with Chris in turning the sequence into a sound piece. I remember when we met, I thought there was something familiar about his face, and he, on hearing my voice, reminded me he'd heard it in his earphones once before whilst recording a television piece over 10 years previously. So in September 2006, we went to the garden at dawn to record the winter and spring sections and then returned at dusk as the full moon rose to record summer and autumn. Afterwards, we sat entirely alone in this magical setting, made even more magical by the pale white light of a particularly resplendent moon, and drank tea and ate Middle Eastern pastries. The soundscape was installed at Chester's Walled Garden 2 years later for visitors to hear over the summer months, and a small limited edition pamphlet of the poems was also published. And the last 6 copies in the world are at the back of the room. So tonight, we've decided to start the sequence at midsummer to invite a sense of this here and now, and also the moon, which is full at 11:27 tomorrow morning. And then we'll follow each month through the year until we find our way home again. There's a small epigraph, which is a verse from the Japanese poet Ryokan. The rain has stopped. The clouds have drifted away, and the weather is clear again. If your heart is whole, all things in your world are whole. Surrender this fleeting world. Surrender yourself. The moon and flowers will show you the way. The moon and flowers. Draw dryad moon. June. If it's true, the more there is, the less you see. This full moon, I don't know where to look. There's so much in bloom, so many changes in the weather. This still point of the sun. I want a word to hold me, a spell like pokeweed, or iris, or betony. If it's true, what you are is what you see. I look at myself in the mirror of the Tibetan cherry tree, shedding its auburn ribbons. Like skin, the curve of its scarred and muscled trunk. You would say, I am letting this moon bewitch me, in danger of losing my way for the charm of its shadows. French lavenders, false. Lodestar. Blessing moon, July. From this distance, I can't tell what it is. Tall. A certain shade of pink. It could be a stilbe or old rose. What does it matter? It's still the same sort of exquisite, whatever it's called. Flowers don't know what they are, and it doesn't stop them growing. So I find myself leaning against ivy and honeysuckle, between mallows, pink and white, like a needle on a compass. North asks, why must I want all that I lack? East says, look, here you are. All in one piece. South is an echo of hill and copper beach. I'm facing west, acanthus and vervain, sacred to Rome. That pink flower I can't name. corn moon, August. Like a woman coming into her own, the garden is a drama of ripening. Everywhere I look, miniature moons float on hot air. These silver-spiked teasels, a single green espaliered apple, mauve eyes on the peacock butterfly's wings, and the mad cardoon, huge and branching. Even the sun filtering through the waxy pods of honesty illuminates clusters of dark seeds. They offer themselves to me, mouthfuls of summer, feeding me like a mother, Demeter, the goddess of grain, this earth we're all made of. Whatever there is plenty, enough. Harvest moon, September. The greenhouse is a tunnel of warm breath. A tired sun casts leafy shadows against the white wall. Jasmine, rosemary, vine. Passion flower tangles itself higher and wider, its astonished blooms escaping from plump, wrapped buds like unexpected gifts. They look too perfect, too science fiction to be growing this far north. The passion they're named for puzzles me. Those clinging tendrils. A little too close to my face, bunches of grapes hang in the angle of the roof, soft green, shading into pink, deepening into maroon, their frosted bloom also perfect. This is harvest. After 9 months, an ending. Blood moon, October. As if the garden were a garment, all faded elegance and scissored stems, I weave a thread between silver mist and gold leaves. Birds sing in a melancholy key. I tie myself up in the spider skeins of old man's beard, knots and curls infused with light. Let me trust them to unravel on their own, kneading the lonely beauty of dark the art of the invisible. I count the yew's scarlet beads, the black seeds hiding inside them. Ancient and stainless, they cheer me, like what must be the last valiant red admiral, the crimson leaves of sumac above its bloody suede fists. Birch moon, November. I've stopped calling to you across the chill. We only end up quarreling. The bark of the Himalayan birch peels off like paper scrolls. I write on that instead. Mistress Moon is an amber pearl I want to hang from my ear, lounging against the bleached trunk like an Elizabethan bow. I write sonnets not mentioning your name. Better to be a mirror rather than hold one up to another and call it love. Dew on the grass that will crisp to frost. Against the clear blue sky, silky plumes of pampas grass wave like a queen's colours. All the proud verticals draw my eyes up, up, up. Oak moon, December, 12 moons, whole and broken, flowers closing and open. Here's the key to the garden. It slips into the lock like the right word at the right time. I press the iron sneck to let the doorway frame the little blue gate. A scattering of birds and the smell of earth sleeping brace me into wakefulness. This is what it's like to be alive, alone, in a walled garden, a paradise. Down by the low stone steps, two roseless roses are rambling, haunted by a seedling oak, blown in, not planted, but no accident, Everything is as it should be. Winter. The robin's stiff-legged dance. His trusting stare. Wolf moon, January. Though you're nowhere to be seen, I want to show you how paradise refuses to lie down and sleep, despite its quilt of ice. Silver leaves of lavender and knackweed seem filled with a longing to be stars, waving their arms at a white dream of sky. If you would come, I'd cover you in fleece against the bitter air, like the tender plants, myrtle and fig, old as ghosts in a story about a walled garden and the moon and everything a soul's ever wished for. Santalina, Santalina, I cry, as near as I can get to your secret name. Buzzards, woodpeckers, whistle and drum me home. Storm moon, February. Today I know what it's like to be locked out of the garden. How heavy snow is, how empty the moon. Out of the window I watch seven partridges looking for food, their startled eyes seven flashes of red. The weather makes a new map of the world, more white than black, fewer edges, much patience required to fathom it. If you were here, you'd remind me of thaw, waxing and waning, the road buried beneath 2 feet of snow. I worry about honeysuckle buckling under the weight of snowfall, the icicle hanging from the gutter, as tall as I am, too sharp, transparent. chaste moon, March. Everything in the garden is thinking the same big thought. It's starting to show in the swelling green, in the gold of daffodils tumbling into the light like broken eggs. Tulips are torches along the tangled paths. I can see the birds have an inkling of flying and falling, hear it in their fluting and trilling. Nothing to do but catch the tune, swallow the moon, and feel the ripples bud in my lungs, the tickle of a new wind on my skin, the surprise of sweet violets. What's here and what isn't yet is begging for your attention, insisting you sing too. Seed moon, April. If April comes from the Latin to open, the garden is a key unlocking itself. White comfrey that won't be contained, tawny wallflowers, purple honesty, cowslips like yellow sparklers. Eucalyptus trees shiver in the breeze, interrogating each shade of green. I want to say this is better than beautiful, bigger than all the words I could string together. Revealing itself, Eden conceals itself, keeping its secrets, like the rue that can't be touched for fear of blisters. I have secrets of my own. They are apple blossom, a woman's name, the cry of wind chimes, an eclipse of the moon. Would it have been a day like this, in May, when the hare leapt up into the moon? I see her in the raindrops on the peony's blousy petals, the angelica bursting out of its sleeves, so many kinds of sage. Maybe it's like this spring must jump into summer, not catching its breath, not fearing the blood of greedy jackdaws. And me, making my way over old ground that every month feels new under my feet, letting the rain speckle me with its freshness, the honeyed resin of rosemary take me like a lover giving myself to save myself, my heart. I've never known rain sound so still before.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for coming. It's sounded good to me up there. Down here. It's a real pleasure and privilege to be invited not only to the festival but to produce two new works, really, with Linda. As Linda explained, we recorded Moon and Flowers a long time ago, but it was never realised, as you've heard it tonight. And similarly, Stone Meadow, which is a new piece, was really as a result of my response to being invited here to Ledbury for the festival. And my association with Linda, working with her all those years ago, and then coming back for this new project. What I do, I'm a wildlife sound recorder, so what I do is record, as far as I can, the sounds of the natural world, but I'm interested in the sense and spirit of the place, which is very much rooted in Linda's work, of course, as you've just heard. So I was delighted to, when we recorded Moon and Flowers, everything you heard then and everything you'll hear subsequently was recorded in Northumberland, so it has that integrity. A lot of it was recorded in the garden at Chester's, which I think is no more. So there's a powerful memory and sound of that place, which you've just heard. But at Stone Meadow was recorded, the spring and summer parts were recorded in the Stone Meadow, the subject of Linda's piece. So we went up there and spent some time looking and listening, more importantly. And the thing that really interested me, I think is reflected in Linda's work, is the sense of perspective, which is vital to my work. And any piece of music, it's one of the things that engages as in music, and by perspective I mean the relative distance from the source of the sound to the listener or the microphone. So everything you hear in Stone Meadow, because it's a very wide open space mostly, it is very wide ambient perspective, so quite dreamlike in that sense. So I had a couple of trips up there in the spring at about 4 o'clock, and then in the morning to record the chorus, which is the final part, and then the section in summer as well. The other two sections were recorded at a time before the commission was made, so the autumn and winter sounds are from Northumberland, so there's an integrity to the piece. And what we're trying to do here is diffuse it into the space to give an ambience, so hopefully a sense and spirit of place which complements the work.
So it's recorded, the technically might be in the four channel surround setting from the unusual point of the speakers into the walls to diffuse it, to use the acoustics in this environment. Anyway, for that.
That I enjoy visiting other people's gardens is because my own gives me so much trouble. Not far from Hadrian's Wall, overlooking the Tyne Valley, my house, an old gamekeeper's cottage, sits at 800 feet and catches the weather blowing from all directions. As well as its exposed position and the short growing season, there are also rabbits and moles to contend with, and sheep and cows partial to tasting whatever they can reach from the other side of the fence. After a riding accident some years ago, my back's not all that strong, and I struggle with too much serious digging or vigorous transplanting. So my relationship with my garden is as ambivalent as my relationship with my muse. However, having said all that, it is also a very beautiful place to live and suits me. Its lightly defined boundaries means it spills into its wider setting, a wonderfully spacious fell wide open to the sky, fringed by a birch plantation grazed by deer to the west, Scots pine, larch and spruce behind, full of wood pigeons, owls and squirrels, and the land falling gently away into the valley in front, with a view stretching across to Weardale in one direction, and the Pennines in the other. Drawn once again to engage in a time-based calendrical consideration of place, in 2011 I set about charting my response to the garden and its setting, which here I call Stone Meadow, after the house's name, Stanley Cottage. I began writing in winter, but today, again, we're starting where we are in summer, and from there we'll cycle through the seasons. And in all four sections, the speaker of the poem is addressing the garden itself. Stone Meadow, summer. By the time we hit June, you admit it. Velvet petals, honey-tongued, you're all about sex. High as a horsefly on chlorophyll. When I come down to your level, Speedwell, Campion, Buttercup, I smell danger. Every plant for itself, where the wild things grow. The sycamore I keep trying to tame is a tumescence of green. The pond, a swamp, ferns trembling beneath the weight of insects, heavy with pollen and need. Look here, it's inside my hips, broken sepals, desire and nectar. What we've both been waiting for, the longest day, that deep shiver of earth, me giving in to your crazy whisper, forget me not, forget me, forget me not, forget. Autumn. Imagine Keats showing us a woman taking off her clothes before making love for the very last time. Three sour apples hanging on the branch above her head. You are the room that film is set in, unforgiving light, tinnitus of desiccated leaves. A few mauve wands of Michaelmas daisies attempt some gesture of enchantment, but can't disguise your longing to be missed, soft focus, to segue into the certainty of snow. You can't look me in the eye, shrug, as if you always knew I'd lost something I never had, and there's no word for it. How can I love you, call you home, when on the other side of the fence they're hunting? Hoofbeat, hornblow, barking. I wheelbarrow a block of stone carved with your name beneath the windswept apple tree. Headstone and blessing, closing credits. winter. If your genius is the god of square things, your fallen angel is mud, black and rotted just under the skin. A Pandora's box of bones and weather. You're a sanctuary that brings no comfort, braced against scouring elements. You'd fold yourself flat into a sarcophagus or 3 months' sleep, at least, were it not for the barn owl scratching his love songs on blistered air. Always some joker insisting on wakefulness, the nudge of a snowdrop, hills lifted from dark by invisible moles. One auburn hydrangea clinging to a limestone wall, impelled to release itself from the terrible thrall of your horizontals. Like no other garden I know, you're stubborn. The way you resist the concept of Eden, scramble between seasons, showers and breezes playing hide and seek. The passerines sing you awake, a parabola of notes suspended in air, still with a chill in it, but clever now, gold and blue mixed, a tincture of what's possible, a stronger draught of shadows. You start small. Daffodils, irises, buds, all in miniature. The lawn remains hesitant, unsure of this endless spin about growth. I suspect you have a secret life. At night, Venus and Jupiter and their flashy crowd make trouble with your greenness, inchoate, susceptible. The disappearance of the dead baby rabbit, a case like many others, still unsolved.